Thank you so much for joining us online today at Christ Covenant Church. We hope you sense God's presence and are encouraged by the message. Now, here's Pastor Ryan Weems.
In week one, we found out and Jesus made the big announcement that I am the bread of life. We talked about some soul food if you were here. And then week two, last week, Jesus made a second declaration in the Gospel of John that I am the light of the world. And today we're going to hear Jesus say, I am the gate. And so a lot of people got opinions about Jesus, but the words in your Bible today and all throughout this series, they're in red because the words are straight from Jesus. And we don't really care, honestly, at this church what other people have to say about Jesus. We want to know what Jesus has to say about Jesus. So John chapter 10, verse 1. And by the way, real quick, for those that are here, like, I'm so glad you're here, but I want you here next week. Because this message today, it's really not meant to be a la carte all by itself. It really pairs well with next week's message. So there's some things that I want to say today, but I'm holding back for next week. So I want you well fed, Christ Covenant. I don't want you getting half a meal, all right? So just be back next week. But John 10, verse 1, here's what it says. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees, which, by the way, Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day. You can think of them as the pastors during biblical times. Jesus used this figure of speech because the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, here's the third I am statement, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. If you're taking notes, I'm calling this message, Don't Jump the Fence. Write that down if you're taking notes in church. Extra brownie points, gold stars in heaven, okay? Don't jump the fence. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you so much, and what a joy it is to gather in your house with your people, and not just those in this room, but those in many other rooms online. What an awesome thing this is, the church, the body of Christ, gathering together to lift up your holy name, to worship you like we did earlier, and also in moments like this, to lean in to what you have to say to us in your holy word, the Bible. We believe, God, that your Bible, your word, it's helpful, it's useful, that there's so much truth, and not only that, it's practical. Like what we're learning, and even for some, what we'll relearn today, God, it's stuff that we can put into practice today. It's stuff that we can use in 2022. It's so relevant. And so I pray, God, that you would encourage us, but I also pray that you would challenge us. God, we were not meant to be comfortable. We are meant to be rubber bands in your hands. Stretch us according to your will and for your glory. So God, I pray that you speak because of me and also in spite of me. And I pray, God, that people would leave this service today not impressed by me, but with your holy word impressed upon their hearts. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Amen. Man, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. I hope you are too. Don't jump the fence. This last week, we got new next-door neighbors, and we're real excited about it, and it's a really cool thing. But earlier in the week, we hadn't even met them yet, and one of our kids was in the backyard, and we got three, if you didn't know, three young ones. And one of our kids was in the backyard, and for whatever reason, their hat got thrown into the new next-door neighbor's yard. Don't ask us how it happened. It just happened, okay? I didn't say ball or like the hat got thrown over. And so we wouldn't let our oldest, our son Luke, we wouldn't let him jump the fence because how many of y'all know that's what we did back in the day, right? Like no big deal. But we wouldn't let him do that because that would have been a real awkward introduction to our new neighbors, right? Like we didn't want to be that next door neighbor to them. So my wife and the kids, because I wasn't home at the time, they went around front and that's how they got introduced and that's how we got one of our kids' hats. But again, when we were little, we wouldn't have thought like another second about it. We would have just hopped the fence, right? We would have just jumped it. And how many of y'all know, like it was even kind of like a game. Like, could you jump the fence and get back over to your yard before they even spot you, right? Like real stealthy style. And I don't know if your fence is like our fence, but they turn it, like every few like posts, they'll turn it back and forth. And so you have on your side, not just straight like wood beams going across, but it's on both sides. So that was one of the issues I ran into as a kid. It's because back in the day, and I'm young, but still things were different. Back in the day, in your backyard, you had those long beams going horizontal, but the other yard did not have that necessarily on that side. And so sometimes it was a real pain to try to get back and forth. But anyways, like when we were little, we would deal with the dog. We would deal with them catching us. Like we just jumped the fence. And as I was thinking about this past week, my mind, because y'all know I love movies, my mind instantly went back to the early 90s classic kids movie, Sandlot. Y'all know what I'm talking about, or y'all just read the Bible all the time? Like, anybody watch Sandlot, okay? Like, just making sure. And Sandlot classic, which pro tip, by the way, if you got young kids, movies from your childhood, like, you forget some of the stuff that's in them. And there was a different rating system back then. And so, by the way, you'll have movies like Goonies, great movie, but you realize that the kids are dropping all kinds of bad words, even in Goonies, okay? And just because it's PG doesn't mean it's PG. It's pro tip. I'm speaking for someone else's experience. But anyways, you know, like that's it. But Sandlot was a great movie. And you remember, like, the scenario and what happens. You got the new kid and he gets his dad's baseball from the trophy room, right? And it says, you know, Baby Ruth on it. And doesn't even really know that it's Babe Ruth's ball and all that kind of deal. And he finally hits a home run. Like, have y'all seen Sandlot? Y'all looking at me like I'm weird, okay? Like, it's very, very, you've had 30 years to see it anyways. And so the kid gets the baseball. He hits a home run over the fence. And he's getting ready to jump the fence. But they stop him because of fear of the beast. And they won't go over. And so what do? They're like, you know what? Let's meet up in the treehouse. Like, do kids still have treehouses nowadays? Anyways, but like they got in the treehouse and they roasted s'mores. And remember, Smalls didn't know what a s'more was. S'more of what? You're killing me, Smalls, right? You remember that? And so they're having fun and it's great. And then all of a sudden, Squints. Y'all remember Squints with the big glasses? Squints gets up in front of all the other kids and they dim the lights and he gets that flashlight and shines it on his face and he tells the whole story of the beast and, oh, you can't jump the fence because he's eating all these people and all this kind of stuff. And then what's he say at the end? Forever. Right? I thought that was pretty good. I guess you didn't, but I thought that was pretty good. Forever. And it's just classic scene. So the rest of the movie, what do? They try to do whatever they can to get the ball. They don't go around to the front door. They do whatever they can to jump the fence, and they got all kinds of like tinker toys and all vacuums and all this kind of stuff and like this hoisting. Like they got all this and none of it works until the very end that they finally, after they're tired and they're exhausted and the fence has been knocked down, at the very end, they go around finally to the front. They knock on the door. They ask the guy. And the guy's like, yeah, no problem. And he goes and gets the ball. And then he says this, you should have came through the front door at the very beginning. At the very beginning. And I know it's an old kids movie from the early 90s, but I think that will preach still today because I know far too many people that have been working, trying to jump over the fence to get something that they have lost. And they are grinding and they are striving, and they are manipulating, and they are stranded. They're doing whatever they can. The struggle is real when the whole time they could have just taken a step back, went around to the front door, because Jesus is the door, and they would have free, open access to exactly what they needed. In fact, would you write this down? Number one, Jesus is an open door, but religion is a dead end. You know, it's really funny because as a pastor, I tell this all the time because I just think it's hilarious. But as a pastor, I meet people, and y'all know, like, I'm kind of like a pastor in hiding. I don't hide that I'm a Christ follower, but people change their tune around me real quick when they find I'm a pastor. In fact, I should even tell this story. I'll try to. Isabel, my wife, I'm pointing over here because of that. She's real good at like helping me. Hey, you went too far. You shouldn't have said this. And so I may get an earful after the service. I love you, babe. But I was at an event recently. I got to be real. And I was by this couple who I never met. And we had a great conversation. It was awesome. And then all of a sudden they realized that the only reason why I was at that event was to do fulfill a pastor like duty. And then their terminology and their wording, like there was a lot less cussing, a lot less talk. Like they were a different person when I got back. Just letting you know. I just think that's hilarious. I eventually had to tell them, hey, I'm a normal person. You just be you, okay? Like just, but anyways. And so I just need you to get this in your heart that religion, to be, because that's what this couple told me. Well, we're religious. Religion is not a good thing. It's not. And so if you're ever around like a pastor, don't tell them you're religious. It's not a good thing. You see, religion is a wall to keep people out. Religion is a barrier, actually, between us and God. Who did Jesus always go after and not hold back? Religious people, people that pretended to be perfect, people, the Pharisees, who would walk on the other side of the street to make sure they didn't get other people's sin cooties on them. That's who Jesus went after. People who had like 600 plus laws they followed. Religion's not a good thing, okay? Like, is it coming across clearly? It's not good. Religion keeps people out. Religion's like, hey, everybody else is dirty, and we don't want them to get the inside dirty as well, so we're going to excommunicate them. We're going to kick them out. We're too good for them. We know the truth, and they don't, and so we're going to hide the truth and keep the truth to ourselves. That's religion, and that's a dead end. But Jesus said, I know there's a wall, but I'm going to make a way, and Jesus came to be an open door for you and me. Is that not good news? That's good news. Where there was a wall, there is now a way, and his name is Jesus. He is an open door. And I keep saying door because if you read the original language, which was not English, it's been translated into English. If you read the original language, when Jesus says, I am the gate, the better translation that caters to the original language is I am the door. They both work, so it's not wrong to say, I am the gate. And really, there's some good symbolism there as well. But really, the best translation, Jesus is saying, I am the door. When religion kept people out and religion would try to work their way to salvation and earn their way, if I do more good than bad this week, then God will be happy with me and I feel better about myself. That's all religion, trying to jump the fence, go around Jesus. But Jesus says, hey, I'm the door. I'm the gate. Like, you get in through me. Stop jumping fences. Stop trying to dig tunnels underneath them. Stop trying to knock them down. I'll say it to you this way. With Jesus, he always has an open door policy. You ever had a boss before that says they have an open door policy, but they were lying to you, right? They said it felt good, it sounded good, but you actually went in and the door was always shut. And even if it wasn't shut physically, it was shut metaphorically, right? Like they didn't really want to hear you or talk to you. Well, with Jesus, it's not just lip service. Jesus truly has an open door policy. And I came to encourage but also challenge our church that if we're going to follow Jesus, we must also have an open door policy. That we're not the Pharisees, we're not the religious elite that love to keep people out. In fact, there must always be a welcome mat at the front of this building, letting people know you don't have to behave to belong. That's why, and this is all intentional, that's why we have a sign, our monument sign, it says, you belong here. It doesn't say, get your life right and then you belong. It doesn't say, believe how we believe and then you belong. Because here's what we think, and honestly, it's heartfelt. we believe that you hang around Jesus and Jesus people long enough, you're going to want to join the party. You're going to want to say, hey, I want me some of that, right? You ever been to a party before? And especially in middle school, and you got the guys and the girls. I'm going off script, Isabel. This is getting real dangerous. Anyways, but like you've been to a party, middle school, and guys are on one side and girls are on the other, and there's nothing happening, right? And it's like, oh, it's just boring. I don't even know where I'm going. But anyways, so it's like you, no. It's fun. It should be good. Like we should enjoy our time with Jesus. And when we do, it will be contagious. People will want to join in. People are like, I need that in my life. Jesus says he is an open door. So I want to put you really just on the spot and I want to commission you. You should be, church, we should be the most joy-filled people on the planet. We should be like, this ain't some Christian club. We should be so welcoming. We should smile at every guest. If you're a guest today, I hope you felt the warmth and love of God because that is so important. Jesus welcomed people in, and we need to be that church that always welcomes others in, even if they look different or think different or even act different, because we believe that you hang around long enough and God's going to do something in their life just like he's done something in our life. Can I get an amen from somebody? Jesus, there is always an open door policy with him. We have to be that same way and have that same heart. Now, let's be honest. When we talk religion is bad, but relationship with Jesus is good, that feels good. We can even amen it. But here's what I felt like God showed me last night. And I don't write the messages the night before, but I'm working on them all week long and even into the night before and even in the morning. And God always has veto rights. That's what I tell people. It's like we plan and we pray and we fast, but God can always throw a curveball in there. He's God and we're not. And so last night, like I had already had us moving on to the second point. We're going to get there in a second. But last night I felt like God led me to add some things to this message for you. And not just you, but also for the first service. And here's what he had me add. Because the Pharisees, if you study their lives, they thought they were right with God. They knew all the rules, all the regulations, holier than thou kind of attitude. And they thought they were right with God, but they were actually against God. And so what I felt like God showed me last night is that for us, it is so easy to move from a relationship with God to actually religion. Like there's some people, I just believe it, that are in this room right now. And you would say, oh yeah, relationship with Jesus. But the way you're living your life is more religious than out of a relationship with him. And so I wrote down six ways. It won't be slides because, again, this was last night, last minute. But I wrote down six ways for you and I to identify the Holy Spirit helping us if we've actually become more like the Pharisees and less like Jesus. And I hope this is a church where I can preach at you even hard sometimes. Is this that kind of church where I can come in and say, hey, this? I know it ain't an easy word, but it's a necessary word. And so I'm asking everybody. If you've been a Christian longer than I've been alive, I'm asking you. If you're brand new to the faith, I'm asking you and everywhere in between that you would ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, are there any of these areas, six, that matches me and that without even knowing it, I've become more like a Pharisee and less like Jesus? And so let's be honest before the Lord. Here's the six of them. Just process these. You won't have time to write them down. But here's the first one. If I'm a religious person, I hold others to a standard I don't hold myself to. I hold others to a standard. So this is that idea, and I say this all the time because it's true. But this is the idea that our sin, it always looks uglier on someone else. And oftentimes, not every time, but oftentimes the real reason why we're so mad at that celebrity that has that stance and so mad at that politician is because there's a little bit of that in us. Not a lot, a little bit. And it makes us so upset and so mad because we see a little bit of us in them. And so if you hold others to a standard you don't hold yourself to, you're religious. Here's a second one. If I'm a religious person, I consistently condemn instead of sharing God's love. So here's the easy test. When there's somebody that you disagree with strongly that's a public figure, is your first thought, first action, first response to condemn them to hell? Is that your first action, first thought? To blast them on social media, even though you don't know them and they don't, is that your first action, first thought, first response. If so, you look more like the Pharisees than you do Jesus. I don't know about y'all, but I'm so grateful that when in my sin and in my mess, because I was far from God, like far from God, I'm so grateful that God didn't condemn me, but God loved me even while I was sinner, and he welcomed me into the family. And hopefully there's some people in this church that you're like that too, that you can remember what you were like before Jesus and how much he's done in your life. And so is your first thought to condemn them, or is your first thought to pray for them that they would encounter God's love? Here's the third one. It got real quiet up in here, Isabel. I'm just going to assume that somebody's getting convicted by the Holy Spirit. Here's the third one. If I'm a religious person, I feel better about myself only when I do a lot of things for God. So when you read your Bible that week and you prayed and you came to church, even though you had an option to go to the rodeo on the last day and you came to church, I'm speaking to somebody right now, but you came to church anyway and you just feel really good about your relationship. Well, maybe it's works-based and not grace-based. Here's the fourth one. If I'm a religious person, holy habits have lost their meaning. And so when you get into a church service like this, you're going through the motions. It's a duty, not a delight to go to God's house. It's a duty, not a delight to serve in God's house. It's a duty, not a delight to give to God's house, right? Like to read the Bible, like check your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. Number five, if I'm a religious person, I don't like to admit it, but I want people to see the good things I do. This is you humble bragging on social media, you know. Look how clean the house is. You know, you got this picture. Or look how awesome my kids are, when the truth is you bribed your kids with candy to make sure they smiled in that picture, right? Like, you just want everybody to know how perfect you are and how much, got another raise, thank you, Jesus, you know. Like, do you have to tell people on social media, you know? Like you're just bragging about how good, and the reason why is because you want people to approve of you. That's religion. That's working for it. That's trying to jump over the fence. Here's the last, I gotta move on, Isabel. Nobody listen to this. All right, here's the last one. If I'm a religious person, I tend to help someone else if I know they can help me later. I'm gonna scratch your back because I think 6 months from now, you're gonna scratch my back. I'm gonna help you out because I know you're gonna be a great reference one day when I try to get that new job with a better salary. Hey, I'm gonna do this for you, but you better believe that I'm gonna be asking for something next week. That's a religious mindset that is not about a relationship with Jesus. And I just came to encourage, but also challenge you that religion, it's a dead end, but Jesus is an open door. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Here's the second takeaway. It's my favorite of the 2 points. I think it's gonna really, really encourage. Number two, when you're with Jesus, for anyone to mess with you, they'll have to go through God first. For anyone to mess with you, they're gonna have to go through God first. Now, looking again at this passage, a couple of things you need to understand about sheep and shepherds, because here's the reality. We live in a big city like Houston, and how many of y'all know, we only see sheep at the rodeo, right? And they're just saying, by the way, y'all seen that mutton busting? That is just awesome. I don't know whoever made that like a good idea, but it is a great idea. It's just awesome, awesome. I love watching those videos on YouTube. But this past week, my family and I, we went to the rodeo finally. It took us 4 years to get there. And we had a good time. We spent a little bit of money because it costs money just to park there. And you know, fried Snickers bars, they're not free, you know, and so you got to pay. By the way, I had one. It was really good. And so not good for you, but it was good. And so we were there this last week. And honestly, I didn't go there to learn about animals or sheep or anything like, but obviously they were there. And they were doing something with pigs that day. So it was just like giant 230-pound plus pigs everywhere. Should have seen our kids' eyes. You know, these city kids, like, what? This is crazy. But honestly, one of the big reasons why I went to the rodeo is because I just knew that I couldn't be your pastor much longer if I had never been to the rodeo before. Like, I'm being real. Like we got people in this church, you've been working your whole life to get on a committee, on a board, you know, and you don't get paid for it. You know, you volunteer. Like we're learning stuff being here in Houston. And so I just knew that you could not respect me, many of you, until we went to the rodeo. I've been now, so hopefully you can respect me. But, like, that's honestly a big reason why we went. It took us 4 years, but we got there. But, of course, at the rodeo, we'll see sheep and different livestock and things that we're not normally, like, no one has sheep here in the city of Houston. But in Bible times, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to, to understand this. In Bible times, it's a way different culture. Sheep and shepherds were a big part of what was going on back then. And so each family in villages typically would have 1 to 3 sheep of their own. It's very, very typical. So when Jesus, just typical Jesus, when he used this symbolism or this imagery of sheep and shepherd, people got it. Not the Pharisees, of course. They didn't get it. But people, common people, they got it. And so in the villages, typically they would have a communal pen for all the sheep in the village to be at, which is important that you understand this. And so they didn't have like their own yard like we would have necessarily. There would be a community-wide pen that everybody's 1 or 2 or 3 sheep would be in. And they would hire out a gatekeeper to watch the pen when it was there in the village in their hometown. So that's why at the beginning of this analogy, Jesus talks about the gatekeeper, right? Letting the shepherd in. That makes hopefully more sense now. But when Jesus repeats himself, because the religious leaders weren't getting it, when he says, again, very truly, I tell you, the second part of the 10 verses that we read, that's a different analogy. What he's referring to in the second part is the time in the summer when the shepherd would actually take the flocks out of the home-based village pen and into the open pastures. So it's 2 different analogies that Jesus is using here. The village pen that was like 6.5 feet tall, they had a gatekeeper, and then also the pen that was kind of the temporary pen. And so during the summer months, the shepherd would take all of these sheep out into the open pasture and he would build a temporary pen. And he would take round, large stones, stack them on top of each other, and then he would take thorns and put them around the top to try to keep out wild animals. And he would make this small enclosure, and that's where the shepherd and the sheep would sleep at night during the summer months. I got a picture here to show you in the room. It's hard to see because our projector, we need a new projector real bad up here, but like that, you can kind of see it in the room. You'll see it better online. But that's not exactly, but that's similar to what one of these temporary sheep pens would look like out in the open pasture. Why are you showing me that, Pastor? Here's why. For those that are brand new to the Bible and brand new to this context, here's your assumption. Well, it's missing a door, right? It's missing a gate. Do they put that on later? You know, did that not preserve? I mean, that was a long time ago in the Bible. What's going on? Here's what's going on, and here's what's so powerful. The shepherd was actually the gate. The shepherd was. The shepherd was the door. Here's what would take place. At night, he would bring in the sheep from the pasture into this temporary pen, and then literally the shepherd would lay down at the entrance of the pen. So nothing could come in and nothing could go out without the blessing and the permission of the shepherd who had literally laid down his life. Y'all know that will preach right there, because Jesus has come to lay down his life for you and me, and nothing gets access to you unless it goes through Jesus first. He is the shepherd laying down his life at the gate, the pen. He is the door. And you got to get this revelation today, especially if you never knew this context. Because again, Jesus has laid down his life. And it's almost like, picture it this way. Jesus, if you follow Jesus, Jesus is your supernatural bodyguard. He is. Like he's the one. He's checking IDs. He's making sure nobody's bringing in weapons. Nothing enters or leaves your life without his blessing or without his permission. So make that practical for a moment. Even if you're dealing with something very heavy and very bad, I am not saying Jesus made it happen, but here's what I am saying. Jesus will use it and turn it around for good to make you even stronger. It's what he does. He turns all things around for the good of those who love him. So cancer doesn't enter our lives without Jesus' permission. It's just the truth. He doesn't make it happen, but he'll protect and he'll guide. Think about it like this. Just practically, think about your house, your apartment. The house analogy works best because you got a backyard, but think about your house. If someone jumped your fence to enter your house through the back door, they are not welcome, right? Like, can you help me out, right? Like, they're not welcome, right? If an adult jumps your fence in the backyard, that ain't good. You do not enter my house that way. You come in through the backyard, an open window. The next thing you're going to hear is the pump of my 12-gauge shotgun. Just being real. Hey, this ain't New York. This is Texas, okay? We can love guns and not be scared to say that, all right? It's cool. If you don't want your guns, give them to me. I'll take them. You know, just off your hands. Like, I just... Am I at the right church? This ain't New York, right? This is Texas, right? Okay, just making sure. They're going to cancel you. They've been trying to cancel me for years. It's okay. I don't care. Like, cancel me all you want. Give me your guns. I'll take them. Anyways, if you come to my house, you're coming through the front door. If you want somebody in your house, you better believe you want them coming through the front door. And when people come through the front door, they are only entering if Jesus allows them to. Because he is the... Talk about the best security system you could ever have. That Jesus is your personal bouncer. He's your security guard. Making sure no one comes in, nothing leaves without his blessing or his permission. I close with this story. I shared this with just a few of you years ago. Many haven't heard this. My dad and mom, they were in first service. They're sitting right over here. And my dad tells this story about his life. It's so awesome, and it just goes perfect with this message as we get ready in. My dad talks about one of his really good friends growing up. He had an awesome nickname. My dad's from Arkansas. And I've debated, you know, all services long if I should make an Arkansas joke here, but I'm not going to, okay, just so you know. But I got a couple. I'm just ready. But anyways, dad's from Arkansas. And I won't say it. I promise, Isabel. My dad's from Arkansas, and he's got this buddy. And his nickname is Pupwood. I don't even know what that means, but it's awesome. Pupwood. My dad had this buddy, and in high school, that buddy, like that friend, always had my dad's back. My dad tells this true story. One time in high school, he was in the bathroom, and all of a sudden, these guys gather around him, and they're getting ready to jump him. And to this day, you could ask my dad, he has no clue why this is happening. But they're around him, and they're getting ready to jump him. Guess who walks into the restroom? Pupwood. He walks in, and I love this line. It's like from a movie. He walks in, and here's what he says. Hey, what's going on in here? Call my dad Weems. That's what most people call us, because his name's Tommy. Common name in that era. My name's Ryan. A lot of people call us by our last names. What's going on here? What's happening with Weems? Here's what he says. Here's the line. I love it. He says this. If you want to mess with him, you got to get through me first. That's so good. You want to mess with... I mean, this dude's got muscles on top of muscles. He looks like our youth pastor, Pastor Dante. I'm just like, never skips leg day. You know, just that's... I mean, just come on. And we're telling like... 18, it's been a long time. Anyways, we all need some friends like that. We need some Pupwoods in our life. So all the guys, they scatter because this dude ain't messing around. It gets better. My dad was on the varsity football team, starting corner, holla, you know, just that's my dad. And he was there in the middle of a game in Arkansas. Arkansas people don't play. And in this game, my dad tackles the running back on the other team. And the other team, true story, you can ask him about it. The other team thinks my dad tackled the running back too low. And so they start to try to fight my dad in the middle of the game. Like four or five guys. How many of y'all know our world has changed a little bit, right? Guess who comes out of nowhere? Pupwood. It's true. He comes out of nowhere and he starts knocking the guys out in the middle of the football game. And from that point forward, my dad knew that anytime his buddy was around, he could have confidence. He could stand with his chin up high and his chest out. Why? Not because of him, because he had a friend who always had his back. And how greater is it with God in us that even when cancer comes and knocks on your door, even when disease comes and knocks on your door, that when anybody tries to jump the fence, try to get you to do things that are not right and not of God and raise your kids different outside the church, making extracurricular activities their God and all the sport, when people try to come in like that, guess who's ready to protect you? Guess who's ready to have your back and guard you? No one gets in and out of your life unless God gives them permission or blessing. Jesus has your back, and if they want to get to you, they got to go through him first. So the battle that you faced, don't let it worry you. Don't let it stress you out, because you got someone who is greater, someone who is laying down at the door. Is this speaking to anybody right now? Is laying down at the door of your life, and he is there with you, keeping you safe. And what's Jesus say at the very end? I'm about to pray. He says, there's some that have come to steal, kill, and destroy. And I've preached it, and this is probably how you heard it, that's the devil, and it could be. But if you're going to be faithful to the original context, you can look at it again. It's very clear Jesus is actually talking about religious people. He even repeats thieves and robbers from earlier in the 10 verses. Now, they could be used by the devil. There's people that work for the devil and don't even know it, by the way. So it could be that, and it could even be the devil. But the original intent is people in our lives, anyone that tells us there's another way than Jesus. Anyone that acts like they're going to help. Oh, if you get your kid in sports, then they're going to get the scholarship, but that keeps them out of church. That's a fence hopper. Oh, you know what? Church is important, but you got to do this thing, and you got to make sure you grind and you work, and this will really help your fence. That's a fence hopper. Anybody that says you got to go through the back door or the fence, they ain't helping you. They're actually stealing from you. They're actually trying to kill you. They're actually trying to destroy your life. But here's how Jesus ends it. He says this, but I have come that you would have life and life to the full. Meaning that in Jesus, you actually get more freedom, not less. Bow your heads with me. Close your eyes. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this third declaration in the Gospel of John. Thank you that you make it loud and clear to us. You said, I am the gate. I am the door. And there's so many ramifications from that. And I pray, God, that you would encourage us, but also challenge us. I pray for those in this room that they would realize that religion is a dent, but a real right relationship with you, Jesus, it's an open door. And I pray for us, church people, that you'd remind us that we should always have an open door policy to welcome those from the outside in. And I pray that you'd encourage us that we don't have to strive or we don't have to work for our salvation, but because of your grace, through faith, we can be saved and we can be forgiven. That's good news. May we not be religious, but may we lean into a right relationship with you. And I pray, God, for those that are battling something. Cancer, COVID, disease, maybe bank account shrinking, fear of being laid off, struggling with infertility, whatever it is, God, big or small, I pray that you'd actually encourage your people today, that you are standing at the door, that you are the door, you are the gate, and even the bad situations, even the difficult circumstances that we wouldn't even wish on our worst enemy, even in those, God, you can turn them around for good and for your glory. You're developing perseverance. You didn't make the bad thing happen, but you sure will use it. Thank you, God, that you have laid down your life at the door. You laid down your life so that we could live for you. May we do that boldly. May there be a holy confidence in the house that my God is greater than anything that I face. And for anyone, even the devil himself, for anyone to mess with me, they got to go through God first. May you do that in us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I pray for anybody that's far from you. I pray today would be their day of salvation. I pray today you would do a fresh work in them. And I pray today they would surrender. that they would go through the front door, accept your grace, the freedom that only you give. They don't need to jump the fence anymore. They can enter through the door, through you. You can do that right now with heads bowed, eyes closed. You can whisper to Jesus, Jesus, I realize you are the door. You are the gate. That where there was a wall, now there is a way. And so I enter in through you. You can whisper to him right now, you and God. God, today I start a right relationship with you. Not about religion, not about my earning or my striving or my grinding, but accepting your grace. Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross, you laid down your life, and I believe you rose from the dead. So Jesus, I ask you right now to forgive me of my sin. I come to you just as I am, taking hold of your promise that you will give me life and life to the full. Thank you, God, for those that are entering through the door, because you are the door. Thank you, God, for the life change that happened in 9:30 and also in this service. Thank you, God, for the life change that happened in person but also online. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, amen. Stand to your feet with me if you can. Thank you for being here again. Hey, a couple of things real quick. No one jetting just yet, but if you could stand to your feet if you're able to, that would be awesome. For those that gave your life to Jesus, let me know. Would you check a box on here? You can put it in the back. Also, before we pray over our tithe and offering, it's real, real exciting. Remember, we got water baptisms. After this service, they're going to be in the cafe. Like, party with us. Hang around for 10 minutes or so. Let's celebrate together. It's going to be awesome. There ain't nothing better than seeing people go public, their faith in Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray for our tithe and offering. Lord, we love you. Thank you for every tither, every giver, those that give in the back, those that give online. Thank you for what you're doing in your house. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you made a decision for Jesus Christ or if your life has been impacted in any way, please send us an email at info@christcov.net. We would love to hear your story. And for those that committed your life to Christ, we want to help you on your new journey by sending our free Start Bible Kit in the mail. If you'd like to partner with us financially, simply click on the Give tab at christcov.net. There it will take you to a safe and secure page where you can set up a one-time or recurring gift to help us accomplish our vision, heaven full and hell empty. And as always, you can find out more about Christ Covenant on our website or on Facebook or Instagram at Christ Cove Houston.